Modish man, we're Modish mamen,
yep.
We're Modish men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Yokai, good morning. This is Murich Mag on RTR FM 92.1 Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM, and if it's across in Ningana Radio, and I'll remember the name of the Boab tree shortly. Yeah, weekly show on good news stories from First Nation peoples from the bottom end of Minang country to the top end, Ningana country. Solo today and talking politics today. Trying to understand what's happening in the next little while over Saturday and the, what the nation is standing for in new leaders in politics. Will Labor get through? Will standing Prime Minister win through? Or will the opposition, Peter Dutton, rock the boat a little like he has been for some time? Or will the Greens or others make up parties there that will strengthen, who knows, a bit will happen in the next few days, and I'm going to have some politically minded people on the show today, as we've done previously. Minang Yok, Megan Cracker, Ningana man all the way from Derby, but is actually in Broome this morning, and Jerry Georgiadis, a favourite of ours that, knows his stuff. And talking about a whole range of things that we should be concerned about when we're going to the polling booths. So stay tuned to RTR FM 92.1, and we might just sort of throw some light on some of the issues that are very important to us and maybe assist you in your decision when you go to the ballot boxes tomorrow. Talking about Derby, but Big Away Dreaming is one of my favourites too, from all the way from Broome. Kerry Ann Cox, an older song. Here's her song, Big Away Dreaming.
Sign up to the Yokai Yarning newsletter to get all the latest information on the fight for justice and healing of Aboriginal Stolen Generations and their communities. Yokai is a Noongar statement of enough is enough, and together we can learn from and heal the trauma of the Stolen Generations. Sign up by heading to yokai.com.au. This is a community service announcement on RTR FM 92.1.
Oh, proud to be Aborigine, Jabbaga, all the way from North Queensland. I love that song, and some of their music, some of their didge playing is just amazing. Jabbaga, it's spelled TJAPUKAI, if you think of North Queensland. Same time as the cultural centre in Cairns, but these boys, these young men play some really good stuff. And looking forward to our guest today. It's running a little late, and might get hold of Jason Hunter in a little while. But let's go to Patrick Davies from also the northern Kimberley, Fitzroy Crossing, Bunupa country, as opposed to Ningala country, where our next guest will be representing and talking about. He was on the show last week to give us a bit of an insight around his political views, but also the previous week around our transmission to Derby, Ningala country. Here's Patrick Davies, Sacred Ground. Sacred Ground, Patrick Davies, all the way from the Kimberley. I understand he's from the Territory, though, and has been calling Bunupa Country Fitzroy Crossing home for a number of years there. Married up to some Bunupa person. As I say, not sure of where he comes from. I'm sure it's from the Territory. Jason Hunter might know. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to Murish Mag.
Yeah, morning, Jim.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show. You must be getting excited. We had you on the show last week talking about your political aspirations. But more importantly today, thought we might have a yarn to you about why is it so important for our mob to vote this coming Saturday, if they haven't already. So why is it important, you think, for our communities to be on the electoral roll and vote?
Well, I think we're because it's quite frightening. We're heading into a sort of a coalition government that might be put into power. I think we really need to vote against them getting in, and use your individual power by voting against this.
Right. So, but more importantly, it's important for our people to have a voice and have a say and try to understand what the political structure is, because I think a lot of our people don't quite understand, eh? Would that be right?
Well, yeah, most definitely. We've been doing a bit of campaigning around the place, and a lot of our mob aren't registered to vote, so, we're just losing a bit of power if we don't vote, so... Yeah, I'll just encourage everyone to go out, register and vote this Saturday.
Right. And a lot of media have talked about, and it's been, I guess, brought on strongly by rugby and Anzac, about the disrespectful attitude of people around Welcome to Country. And I mean, we all know Welcome to Country is our country and it's individual countries. It's not necessarily Australia. It's not necessarily Western Australia. It's Welcome to Country. How would you like to put that to people who might be concerned that Welcome to Country is done its day or it's being overdone? What's your thoughts on Welcome to Country, please, Jason?
Well, yeah, in regards to Welcome to Country, I think it's important, particularly for our little ones, because research has shown that it strengthens their connection to country and sense of self-worth, which is so important. In general, this is the case, it strengthens the country's viewpoint towards that this is actually Indigenous lands. So we need to respect that, and we need to put it out there that the Aboriginal culture is the longest surviving culture in the world. I mean, it's tens of thousands of years older than even the Egyptians. So, we need to, as a country, embrace this. So, all this rhetoric against it is detrimental, not just to the Aboriginal people, but to the broader population as well, I feel.
Good on you. Yeah, Jason Hunter, you might have heard him last week. Ninkana man who's in Broome today. So why are you in Broome, Jason? You're campaigning, and what's the story there?
Yeah, we're handing out how to vote cards for pre-polling, and we'll be there for Saturday for the election. And, just pushing IAPA, the Indigenous Aboriginal Party of Australia, which is focused solely on, our people, the Aboriginal people, and... it's going to give us a voice. So, get out there and vote. And if you're in the Durack electorate, please put a number one for the Indigenous Party.
Good idea. Anything else you'd like to say about the trials and tribulations of entering politics, and anything more you want to say to... Because your people in Nyingana people will be listening also, although... They'll probably hear you after the election. So, anything more you'd like to say to round up the conversation?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say to all the mob listening and the broader Aboriginal communities out there that we've got... our party has nine candidates running from all over Australia... And we're all working together for one cause. So I just want everyone to come together and in unity and push our Aboriginal agendas forward. Together we've got to all work together, and then we'll get somewhere. That's what I'd like to say.
Good on you, thank you, Jason. And you'll be back on Moorish Mag in a couple of weeks' time, giving a report or giving some ideas what's happening up in Derby and Nyingana country, eh?
I sure will be, looking forward to it.
Good on you. Thank you so much for being on Moorish Mag. Let's go to a song. Here's Troy Cassidaly.
Can I play you a song?
Oh, lovely sounds of Emma Donovan, the lady who couldn't get a taxi at the airport in Perth a few months back. Singing Sing You Over There with Emma Donovan and Paul Kelly. So Paul Kelly chipping in. If you didn't know Paul Kelly, well, you now know. Yes, and welcome to the show, Megan Cracker. Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you, Mr. Morrison?
Oh, pretty good. You'd had a chance to listen to Emma Donovan there and Paul Kelly. Smooth, eh?
Oh, incredibly smooth. I just love that song.
Megan, you've been on the show before, and I thought it might be a good opportunity to have a bit of a yarn to our listeners here on Whadjuk country, Menang country, and even now Nyingana country in Derby, about your thoughts on what's happening in the next few days. I mean, it's getting a bit torrid, the words and the spiels that our politicians are saying. How are you feeling, given you're now putting yourself up for the Senate? How are you feeling today? But before you go any further, who are you mobbing, where you're from?
All the way from Mount Barker, youngest of 13, cracker mob, and come from Menang country.
Good on you. Yes, well, it's starting to get... I guess people will be getting nervous. I mean, there's been some wild accusations, wild policy statements. How are you feeling about this now that you've entered into this, I won't say rat race, but you've entered into this amazing situation that's causing a lot of our First Nation people to, you know, I think be quite ill. So we won't talk about the obvious, but so how are you feeling about it now?
I'm actually feeling really good, really pumped up, if I can be honest.
Right.
Just before we go a bit further, there's a lady, her name is Amanda, and she's at Fatima's office. Her and her team always listen to your show, so I just want to do a big shout-out.
Oh, big shout-out to Amanda. Well, I could say they're brown noses, but that's good. No, that's good. We're quite a few of us are brown noses. But so thank you for mentioning that. Hello to Amanda and people in the office here.
Yeah, but, you know, we're just focused on what we have to achieve. Obviously, there's a lot of mistruths, misrepresentations, distortions, and obviously some distraction politics as we go to the polls in 2 days' time. And this is causing a lot of harm and hurt in community. And this whole thing about separatism and division is certainly taking place. And it feels almost like this is going to be an election, one of race divide. And that is not how we should be as a country.
Yeah, it certainly goes back to last year's events, but yeah. So, you know, so what's the challenge and how do you... I mean, you're saying that you're feeling quite good, but a lot of us, I think, are still picking ourselves up off the canvas from previous years, and it's sort of really getting into an awkward situation again where people aren't feeling so good and safe. But are you noticing anything different? Are you feeling confident that people are in tune and not feeling so down about what's happening?
Well, let me give you two examples. So anyway, here's my niece. She's cruising down Lake Highway. There's a car behind her. Her little boy says to her, "What's all those blue signs?" And then the niece says, "Oh, that's all the little people." Anyway, they go a bit further down Lake Highway, then one sign appears after the next. And then it gets to a point where they stop. And then where they stop, there's all the Liberal people, "Vote Liberals, vote Liberals." And then the niece and the little nephew and the little granny, they all shout, "Go Australia's voice, vote Megan Cracker." So it's no real deadly political banter.
Right.
But then there was another young girl, and she's only about 9 years old. She says to her nan and her pop and her uncle while they were talking, she says, "Are you voting for Australia's voice?" And the grandmother and the grandfather, they looked and thought, "Hang on, what's going on here? This kid's only 9 years old." She says, "Are you voting for Aunty Megan?" So, you know, we've had the good with the bad, but there are two really light moments and people that actually inspire me, two little people getting involved in this political system, which is very foreign and very difficult for a lot of us to navigate.
Wow.
But, yeah, no, it can be an ugly time. But what I've seen is a movement, a true people's movement of all brothers and sisters, young and older. And when you go to the polling booths, of course I'm polite to all the other parties and so forth, and even the independents. But it's just been an incredible movement. This morning there was a lady who was catching the train up to Kalgoorlie, and she was able to take some of our promotional gear up to Kalgoorlie. These are people that sometimes ordinarily wouldn't be engaged. So I see it two ways. A lot of people getting involved for the first time and some being engaged, but at the same time I also see the ugly side, and that ugly side has no business being signed by the best for all people in this country.
If you just tuned in to Woodditch Mag, Megan Cracker is my guest today. Minang Yok, who is from Mount Barker but has lived on Whadjuk country for some time now. And tell us about those challenges you've had in the past few years which have impacted as to why you want to be elected. What's really been the big challenges for you, and what makes you your desire to be part of politics?
So, as I've mentioned on the show previously, and you know me personally, Jim, and I've got a lot of love and respect for you. Jerry Georgiadis, he's someone that came into my life and he helped me find my voice, and he's just an incredible advocate. But over the years, and close to the last decade, I've seen the most marginalised and vulnerable not have any voice whatsoever. And I've seen so many challenges where there's a systemic repair, but there is no political will whatsoever to ensure that occurs. So as a result, in this incredible country, the 12th richest economy in the world, we see people living in third world conditions. We see people dying on the streets. We see people that want to go back to work, but they can't go back to work because they have children and the daycare fees are too high. We see people that are living out in communities with known disabilities, not knowing how to navigate NDIS. Now, that is a human rights violation and no way for anybody to live in this so-called lucky country. We must be a kind society.
Sure. Well, you mentioned Jerry Georgiadis. I'm hoping he's going to be a guest on the show today. Thought he might be coming in. I hope he's listening. But if not, we'll talk to him in a little later. So Megan, you're sort of all fired up and you've got all your supporters around. You've got about 50-odd people that's going to be helping you, handing out how-to-vote cards. So you must be feeling good about that.
Yeah, we'll see. Whilst we say 50... they'll be set up in all these different locations, but it's more than 50.
Good.
In fact, Fatima Payman, she's just an incredible woman, absolutely incredible. She's forward-thinking, she's a truth-teller, and she's very honourable. But this is a very, very fast-growing party. We've only been established for the last 4 months, and yet we've seen thousands of people that have come on board. And that is a true testament to what she's achieving, but also what people in community are experiencing. They're obviously disillusioned with the current two parties, and what they want to see is strong crossbench where there's going to be that accountability.
I mean, this is the first time that I've had people such as yourself on radio, RTR, FM, Woodditch Mag, talking about the election. So it is historical that someone like yourself, Jason Hunter was on the show earlier, he's standing for, I guess, the Senate too. He comes from the Derby region, but is living down here now for some time. He's from Nyingana country. You might be aware that we are transmitting to Nyingana country in Derby as well. So you might want to shout out to listeners both on Minang country and Nyingana country, if you know people, but we haven't got there yet. Anything else you'd like to say about your experience and how you're feeling today?
I mean, I'm feeling pumped. I'm feeling really positive. We've got a great team. It's just enlightening to see how many people have actually jumped on board to help, to support and basically be there, because they know if I get there, we get there, because it has to be a team effort. And we have to grow the grassroots movement, but also those that are doing it really tough, because the cost of living crisis is just unbearable for most. We have the mental health crisis, which is another priority at this election, which is very much well and truly disgraceful, if I can be honest. the politics in this country has a very low bar. So with Fatima joining the race with this party, we aim to raise this bar to unprecedented heights to ensure that many of our people, black, white and brown, brothers and sisters of the human family, they are getting the best service possible, but also living their best lives.
Right. Thank you so much for that. Do you like a shout-out to any Nyingka mob or Minang people listening in?
Yeah, you mentioned Jason Hunter. I caught up with him up in Geraldton last week.
Right, that yes.
Incredible gentleman. We were on the same panel. I caught up with him, his partner, actually, yesterday in Fremantle. In fact, I've taken some promotional gear for us back up to Broome this morning. So Jodie Ryder, of course, always on the radio station, nothing but the utmost love and respect for her, but all the listeners up there. Every time that we try and push for the systemic repair, it's not just for the Noongar mob, it's for people in this country, whether it be about Banksia Hill, whether it be about tar removals, whether it be about climate justice. It is a movement that has to be done in solidarity.
Megan, it's a pleasure again to have you on Morish Mag, Great Southern FM, Noongar Radio. Good luck in the next coming days, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon, as you are a friend of Murich Mag on RTR-FM. Thank you very much,
Megan. You know what, Jim? I'm going to have to come around to your pool there when this is all finished at your house and come for a swim.
Good on you, bub. Okay, Megan. Megan Cracker. Thank you. Let's go to Emily Waimara. We play a lot of her music. This is Stomping Ground. Great sounds of Emily Waimara. Normally play Black Smoke and or Black Boys, but Stomping Ground there, a little bit of a collaboration with obviously some hip-hop singers. This is Murish Mag. You've just tuned in, 92.1 Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM and Nyingana Radio up in Derby. My next guest is Jerry Georgiadis. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. Jerry, you've been on the show before, and I thought it'd be... Given the climate of the last few weeks and leading up to an election, I thought it'd be great to get you on the show to talk about how you're feeling about current issues, what you've been involved in for so long. So I might just start off with asking who your mob and where you're from, Jerry.
Well, my mob's a mixed mob. I'm a child of migrant born, and I'm a child of migrants. I came here in the 50s and 60s. I was born in 62, so I'm 63 now, so I'm getting on. And my parents are Greek, and Greek was my first language. When I went to school, I couldn't speak a word of English, so it took some time before I could master what little English I know now. Hmm. And, summarily, that pretty much sums up my mob. But I've mixed it with a lot of mobs since from all sorts of different cultures.
Good on you.
And also first peoples.
Again, Jerry, it's a pleasure for me to have you on Murish Mag. And as you heard, we're on Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM, and just recently up in Nyingka Country in Derby. So a lot of people will be listening to you, and I wanted to bring you on because of my great respect for you and the work you've been doing. What's been the highlight of the years you've been involved with First Nation people? Now, I don't want to rush this. We've got till midday, Jerry, so take your time. What's been the highlight of your work? I mean, I know you've been doing some amazing research and very committed to First Nation issues, so particularly around the care, self-care or self-harm that our people are going through, and certainly you've been really pushing the bar around reform around juvenile justice. But let our listeners know what's your big the big issues you've been dealing with for so long, and maybe I've already said it and stole your thunder.
Thanks for asking me that question, because usually I'm always putting out the grim reality and the deficit discourse in terms of principles of proportionality. Strength-based discourse is important, but you've got to have the deficit discourse, because if you don't see it, you don't know it, and if you don't know it, it's not going to get policy. There's not going to be no public consciousness galvanising or shifting towards getting something done. But being in the tertiary sector for a long while and mixing in with alternative pathway programs for education, my highlight for me, amongst several actually, First Peoples, is that First Peoples who get to university now are alongside their migrant-born brothers and sisters, or the children of migrant-born parents, the highest graduate cohort. As they get to university, they're amongst the highest graduate cohorts. They've got a greater chance of graduating than the children of the invaders who came to this country, over to this continent, 150, 200 years ago. So non-First Nations people. But alongside their brothers and sisters from migrant-born parents, they're the highest graduate cohort. So it pleases me to see that. One of my great pleasures was Gumbalanga till 2013, hadn't had a graduate, a high school graduate, till 2013. Three girls graduated in 2013. It always disturbed me that there were no graduates from the schools in the regions, in such regions such as that Yolngu country.
Right.
In places like Boorloo and Gumbalanga and that so forth. But since then, we've had quite a few more. And that matters. And while also they're immersed in their culture and their first language is in English.
Right, right. Look, Jerry, some of the discussions we've had over the years and has really rocked me, because it's a lot of research has been done on the Human Development Index and how our first... Yeah. So how would you like to sort of tell our listeners your concerns about that and where First Nations people appear in as far as human development?
I will.
Please, yeah.
We've talked about that, and that takes me many years back.
Yes.
It was 2011 I first started looking at the United Nations Development Program with the Human Development Report.
Yeah.
And I've actually, one statistic to actually come out with, first statistical narrative, is that Australia, from all the most Western nations in this globe, on this pale blue dot, this earth, Australia, of all the Western nations, of middle and high income nations, with peoples who they've conquered or dispossessed, the first peoples of their nations, have the highest divide between the first peoples and the non-first peoples, the invaders.
Right.
The highest divide in terms of all measurable progress, in terms of the income indexes.
Yep.
And in public health quotients, the highest and widest divide. So Australia's got that horrid reputation as the worst than Canada, worse than the Indians, worse than the United States of America and other places in the world too, the highest divide, the widest divide. And in terms of the Human Development Report, in 2011, it was actually, Australia was actually number two in the world. And it fluctuates over the years, 2, 3, 4, behind Finland, Norway, usually, in terms of public health quotient, social health indexes, and the like. But they measure it against, in 2011, if my memory is correct, it was 167 nations that were measured out of the 196 nations on the tour. And Australia as a whole was number two. And when I disaggregated it further from a racialized lens to the first peoples of this continent, it was 103 if they were a nation of their own, 103.
Right.
And then in the ensuing year, in 2012, I disaggregated to 122, and in 2013 to 132nd. So whether Australia was 2, 3, or 4 on that index, disaggregated, where we unmask and actually put our eye on the first peoples, it was 103, 122, and 120, and 32 in
wow.
three consecutive years. And
wow.
I'd be pretty much on the mark to say that it hasn't much changed, because 40% of First Nations people live below the poverty line. There's another 20% in proximity, the Henderson poverty line, and there's a crushing poverty of the lowest quintile, the lowest fifth, that's actually not fundamental to the poverty
right.
of other Australians. So we've got relative and abject poverty, and there's more abject poverty amongst First Nations people.
Right. I mean, you know, the Human Development Index is a measure of a whole range of things, including life expectancy, health and well-being, income, numeracy, literacy. So it's quite startling then that the figures you're telling our listeners today, and how that we hope that might convince people to look at what policies there are coming up with people that are aspiring to be our political leaders, where the Liberal Party is going, where the Labor Party is going, where the Greens. So it's important that people understand the realities of what you're saying, and I'm glad that you've mentioned those sorts of startling figures. What else is there that you've been involved in? I mean, there's a lot of things.
I'll give one more startling figure, yep. And then I'll talk about what I've been involved in the minutes that are left. But the other startling figure is actually if we disaggregate further amongst even our First Peoples, and if we disaggregate further amongst First Peoples to the remote living. So we've got 85,000 remote living First Peoples living in communities that don't have an equivalency of services to non First Nations communities in the remote, where they do have an equivalency of services in predominantly non-Indigenous communities to what our major regional towns and to what our cities actually have. They have that equivalency of services, recreation, institutions, and the like. But in the remote, they don't have that. And most of the remote communities, there are 1,200 communities throughout Australia, homelands, and I've been to about 600 of them over the decades. Probably more than any other Australian. But anyway, that aside, a majority of them don't have even a swimming pool for recreation. They don't have clean water. They don't have a secondary school. And on that note, of the 85,000, 43,000 eligible school-aged children, there's no secondary schools, so they don't graduate from high school, secondary school. So there's 40,000 children, of whom 6,000 will get boarding school places, 6,000 to 35,000. And I'm not selling boarding schools, I'm just saying that 6,000 go into boarding schools, but 35,000 will never get a secondary school education. 35,000 will never get a secondary school education. So that is a deny to them in this country because the secondary school infrastructure doesn't exist in these communities. And that isn't what actually happens in predominantly non-Indigenous communities in the remote. It's actually an abomination, and it's a human rights contravention, and it's appalling. But but to talk about the other stuff that you said, I've been involved in suicidality and did work with Pat Dudgeon in the year.
Yes.
In the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Suicide Prevention Evaluation Program. My greatest pleasure was to see that we actually got an all-black conference, all First Peoples, up in 2016, the first one of its type, instead of just being a couple of workshops in the mainstream suicide prevention conferences. And we got an all-black conference where actually every presenter was First Nations, and so we're doing concurrent sessions with tandem speakers who were non-First Nations. They had to be with a First Nations speaker too. So that was really good because we actually had 440 people at that in May 5, 6, 7 and 8 in Alice Springs at the Convention Centre in 2016, sorry. And that actually brought a lot of people on into suicidology and into suicide prevention and researchers and the like. And actually quite a few people, First Nations, graduated universities as a result of being inspired by that conference.
Right. And has things improved since 2016, do you think, or has it gotten worse?
No, the funding just doesn't happen. See, it doesn't translate with the policymakers. So in 2016, it was 1 in 19 First Nations people of their deaths, 1 in 19 deaths of First Nations people are suicide. That's horrific. That was the highest rate in the world, according to my research. And I pumped it out on the front page of The Australian in 2014.
Right.
It had to be said because we got some attention from the federal government who funded piecemeal progress. Pilots and the like, but didn't actually fund the evaluation tools that we actually put together. And then we've actually done with Jim Tom Karma and the like, and other academics and other involved parties and vested interests. But it's actually disappointing because that would have brought about a certainty of funding to a lot of pilots where they don't have the assessment tools at this stage to actually assess what works and what doesn't work. So that was a great letdown by government that they keep on wanting to consult, to do roundtables and the like, but don't actually want to invest in what may work and what does work. And we've gone today to 1 in 17 deaths of First Nations people of suicide, and at the turn of the century it was 1 in 26. In 2010 it was 1 in 23, and in 2016 it was 1 in 19, and today it's 1 in 17. And because evidence is hard to gather to satisfy coronial inquest of whether something was suicide or not, it's actually also underreported. But the statistic for Australians, all Australians, is 1 in 50. 1 in 50 Australians is at a horrific rate too, which is 2% of the population in terms of deaths by suicide. It's horrific. But then that it's a humanitarian crisis when we consider 1 in 17 for our First Nations levels of assistance. And the stark statistic is most of those deaths are below the poverty line. Mm. They're almost negligible above the poverty line. Above the poverty line, Australians have a higher rate of suicide than First Nations people. Right. It's below the poverty line.
Now, Jerry, that's startling news. We a lot of information there to decipher for our listeners. So we might end there and go to a song, but I really appreciate your time today and might bring you back after the election and talk some more about how we can, how our First Nation people could be dealing with this and maybe come in with Megan Cracker. That would be good. Thank you for being on the show.
There's all sorts of people we can come in with.
Oh, for sure.
Really talk the difference, and that'd be a great start, galvanising and arguing, putting the public consciousness what works.
Good on you, Jerry. Thank you for coming on to Morning Mag RTR FM. Let's go out with a song, Glenn Sculthorpe. My name is.